I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs. Sal Capaccio, third and final segment of the Duntire Roundtable for this week. Bills are off to Miami tomorrow, and they are shorthanded, as we've been talking about all day and for much of the week. The week started so well. With the Monday night win over Tennessee. There were those injuries, though, in terms of Dane Jackson, a very scary one. Mike Hyde, also a neck injury. And if you missed it, in the update or earlier, Sean McDermott on with Joe and Sal on the Extra Point show this morning made the announcement official that those players and Jordan Phillips would not play against the Dolphins. Also, Ed Oliver. Sorry, now I'm just repeating the update. Sal, I mean, it's been said so many different times and ways, but Hyde and Poyer is still iffy for this game himself, so valuable. I mean, maybe still just not adequate expression of how much they've meant to the Bills. Hyde has missed two games since he walked in the door. One game in the middle of a couple different seasons, came right back. How would you put that into words, just what they've meant to all this?
Oh my gosh, they've been really just the constants, right? As much as other things have changed, and not a lot has changed over the last 5 years, a few guys in, a few guys out, but they're the two constants that have been there, along with Tre'Davious White, really, that in the secondary, right? I mean, what they've done, the numbers they've put up, that stat that Jerry Sullivan posted the other day, which is incredible, like the Bills have allowed 87 touchdown passes in the last 5 years. No one else, no other team has any less than like 110 or something like that. It's incredible. Like, those two guys are a big reason why. They keep everything in front of you. They keep everything in front of them. Their communication is just top-notch. They know the defense inside and out. Having the same head coach, having the same coordinator certainly helps. But, yeah, I mean, those guys, what they've meant to this team, to just simply always have that security blanket, and they're just fabulous players, and they're great leaders, right? I mean, it's kind of the perfect combination of everything. You have the consistency and the continuity to go along with guys who are really, really good players, and that other people just totally respect, and they can run everything back there.
On the flip side here, Sal, like we obviously we're focused on the Bills injuries, but Miami, Armstead, Howard have to be the two names that jump out on their injury report. Neither guy is ruled out, but Armstead has not practiced at all. And he's questionable. He managed to get through last week's game without practicing as well, and the coach even has said, like, he's proven he can play without practicing. So that's probably game time, and maybe the same is true of Howard. I don't know. Both guys are important. Which guy would you feel might be the bigger loss or more important for Miami to have?
I would think Howard, because they're already down Byron Jones. You know, if Teron Armstead is out, it's a huge loss. There's no doubt. He's also not the blindside protector of Tua, as good as he is. And you can always slide protection, give help, use a little max protect. Like you can mitigate that a bit. You could try in the secondary without Xavier Howard, but if you're down your two starting corners, which then is the case, I mean, good luck stopping Stephon Diggs and, you know, Gabe Davis if he plays. But even just Diggs, we saw the Tennessee Titans not be able to do that. They were down a corner. They had to go with young guys, and it's just not going to work out well. You know, for all the Bills' injuries on defense, they're pretty healthy on offense. Now, yes, Gabe Davis is questionable. Who knows if he's going to play? He said he was 100% optimistic he would play, whatever that means. right. And Mitch Morse is questionable. But really, the Bills should have pretty much all hands on deck on offense. So even if this gets a little bit into a shootout because the Bills are having trouble stopping the Miami Dolphins because of their firepower and the guys they're lacking, the Bills still have 17. And if they're not, if they don't have Xavien Howard, this is already a team, by the way, the Dolphins, even with Xavien Howard, that is last in the entire league in yards per play given up overall and yards per pass given up overall.
Yeah. I wonder maybe if, stay with me here because it's going to sound absurd here.
Ooh.
And maybe at the end it'll still sound absurd when I try to finish it off. But like Howard's obviously excellent. But I wonder if he's not there, if that does Miami the favor of taking them out of their eagerness to blitz as often as they have against Josh Allen. Like if they have inexperience in the secondary, you know, one option would be to try to not put too much on their plate and help them and play something softer maybe and stay in more of a shell. And like, I know Allen has picked that apart this year so far, but it would require more patience, right? I mean, I think Miami has continued to just slam their head into a brick wall blitzing him and they get burned when they do it. Maybe if Howard's not there, they do that less and that ends up being better for them.
Could very well be. They have already blitzed a lot this year as well. We know that. They're a team that, you know, has blitzed quite a bit and it just hasn't gotten home. So that's hurt them. Maybe they're already going to change up that philosophy against Josh Allen. But you're right. I mean, maybe they say, hey, let's kind of take a page out of the Bills book here. And if we can't blitz because, you know, we don't have the horses to stay one-on-one by blitzing, let's keep everything in front of us. Let's be patient. Let's make the Bills be patient. Let's make the Bills kind of keep everything underneath. I think that would actually be a sound strategy. I just think that that's not something they normally do, but you're right. Maybe that's right. Something they do in the situation. Now, we don't know if, obviously, either guy's going to play. I think a couple of factors playing into this. First of all, Mike McDaniel, their head coach, said that, you know, it's very up in the air if Armstead plays, but that he doesn't need a whole week of practice to play.
Right.
He can play without practicing. He was fighting through a toe injury last week, and he still played. So that's on him. On Howard, he did have a groin injury last year, which I believe cost him at least a game, maybe more. So, you know, that's something to monitor. But the other part of this is, guys, they play Thursday night. You know, and you wonder if it's super close, do they err on the side of let's not put a guy out there, get him more hurt that he's going to miss more time because we did this, or then we don't have him for all of this game and all of next game.
That's,
you know, maybe that comes into play when they do like pregame warmups or, you know, game time decision or anything like that.
That's really tough, isn't it? I mean, I was just reading about the Chargers in this way. Like Brandon Staley said he wanted to give J.C. Jackson a rest week. Well, he played last week. He was injured at the beginning of the season and played anyway in Kansas City. You know how coaches different from each other go about deciding those 50-50 calls. Like here, it's really hard to know. I mean, an injury, we talk about it like it's one thing, but there are varying degrees of these injuries. And then you have a coach weighing the importance of this game. Holy cow, Sal, the Dolphins have kind of awakened here in a spot where they can take the division lead. And they have an opponent that's wobbling a little bit in terms of the injury report only. That's the only way in which the Bills are wobbling. So if a coach were down the middle, I mean, this is a big opportunity here. But, you know, the next week is the AFC champs, Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right. They are feeling good about themselves right now in Miami. And, you know, they should after the way they've played. It's a very, very big test for them. I think that this is, you know, psychologically, of course, how you feel about yourself, whatever, much bigger game for Miami than it is for Buffalo. I think if the Bills were to lose this game, there's no panic. You know, you're still the best team. At least you should be. You're going to be still favored to win the Super Bowl, and you have plenty of time to make up ground. You get this team again. You know what you've done. I think if the Miami Dolphins lose this game against the Buffalo Bills and how banged up they are and how well they've been playing, it's almost like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, what else can we do? We're just not going to be able to beat this team. And I think that's a pretty big psychological effect. And the reverse is true, where if Miami wins this game, you know, they're going to be strutting around and thinking, you know, this is our division and, you know, let's maintain this. The next few games for them, by the way, they have a schedule that's pretty conducive for them to get more wins. And if the Bills win this game, I think it's almost like, yeah, that's what we do. We go and we beat the Dolphins. It doesn't matter who we have because, you know, we show up and we win games.
Right. Josh Allen's on our team and he owns them.
That's right.
We've spent a lot of time already this hour talking about the injuries and their impact on the game plan. That will suffice as this week's edition of Constructing the Game Plan, which is brought to you by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Sal, what about running the ball, either of these teams? Is it just like an afterthought for both of these teams? I mean, we saw Tua last week, 467 yards, 6 touchdowns. We know what Allen's capable of. Do you think either of these teams will care much at all about what they are doing on the ground?
I do think they'll care. I don't know if either will be like super successful, but the Bills, first of all, Josh Allen has run well against the Dolphins in the past. I think Josh's legs could come into play again. The Bills actually, if you remember last year, the second play from scrimmage, the Bills busted off a huge run for a touchdown by Devin Singletary when they played down in Miami. You know, they'd love for something like that to happen again. I think I'm more interested from the Miami side running the ball. Why can't they run the football? I mean, they ran it better last week. They've had a nice chunk runs here, but they had this backfield that they collected that's all super fast, and they got this, you know, this Shanahan system, but really hasn't gone as well as planned, right? I mean, in the preseason, they could not run the ball at all. And people are like, well, it's only the preseason. Well, it kind of really went into the regular season. In the first game, they didn't run the ball very well against New England. And then last week, they started going a little bit, but they just haven't been very good at running the ball, to be quite honest with you. And I wonder, that's for me, like a little bit more. They are averaging 75 yards a game on the ground, less than 4 yards a carry.
I think a couple things here. Last week's game, not much was happening, but then they got so far behind, it really almost didn't matter. Like, they were not, you see it in the passing stats. Like, the running game was obsolete midway through. I want to finish this point and then say a thing about the Bills. Edmonds in week one. Edmonds has been more the third down back, the Nyheim Hines, McKissick type of running back for Arizona. They signed him in free agency. I think you might have seen already last week, Sal, Miami get off of him as like a first down running back, and they used Raheem Mostert. I think Mostert is probably fine until he gets hurt, and he's been hurt a lot, and he's into I think age 30 or 31 even now. But he doesn't carry an injury designation for this game. And you see them both on the field, too, and they have a fullback. And I bet there's some of that, or maybe a lot of that in this game, with pass protection being so necessary for Miami to have any chance here against what the Bills can do. So I'm expecting Mostert and then Edmonds in more of a part-time role, more like they looked against Baltimore. The Bills running the ball, even in that game when, like, that was all they were here for, you know, the second half with the big lead, it's still not really happening. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm worked up about that, because you know me when it comes to the running game. Like, I don't even care. I got Allen, I'm all set. But, you know, you might have wanted to see James Cook do a little more, maybe score on that one where he broke it. And Singletary and Moss just kind of there so far.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, I think you'd like to see maybe a little bit more efficiency from the Bills. But, you know, I mean, you go back to that L.A. game. I mean, Devin Singletary averaged 6 yards a carry. They ran pretty well. You know, Josh has to be a part of the running game for sure. You know, but the Bills are going to go as far as Josh Allen throwing the ball, right? If you're going to shut them down, they'd love to tell you we can run the ball. If we have to run the ball, we can. But really, that's how they're going to make their business, right, is Josh Allen throwing the football. So, and I think the Bills will try to run the football here. You know, one of the things the Bills might want to do, guys, is, and believe it or not, the kind of the strategy teams have against the Bills, well, you know what? We're banged up on defense. Let's not expose them anymore. Let's not put our defense out on the field a lot. Let's control the game a little bit more on the ground. Let's run the ball a little bit more so we don't have to ask Christian Benford and Kyer Elam and Daquan Johnson to have to cover those receivers even more so than they have to and put them on the field in the hot sun against Miami and run around and chasing those guys around all afternoon. Like, that could very well be part of the game plan here. I think the Bills are fine and capable of running the ball. I think they're actually a good run team when they want to be, and they can be. I don't think it went necessarily as well as you wanted it to last week against the Tennessee Titans. But I think if they wanted to run the ball here against the Miami Dolphins and really concentrated on it, I think that they'd be just fine going with that game plan and then saying, all right, now it's time to, you know, let Allen do his thing.
88 degrees Sunday, chance of a thunderstorm. You've been down there many times. I mean, a typical Miami weather, so there'd be that. That'll get mentioned on the broadcast, too, with respect to how these teams, you know, what their game plan is, hot and sunny. It gets hotter than that, but still, like, typical Miami road game weather.
Yeah, and we had Patrick Hammer on the Extra Point shows we do every Friday. He said that there's definitely going to be showers around in the area, and he said that there's a front coming through. It's not just your typical South Florida day. Like, be ready for it. There could very well be showers. And guys, anytime you hear that in South Florida, just have to remind people that 2 years ago there was a big lightning delay too. So let's hope that's not the case. And that was during the COVID year, and basically we were doing the game from back home here. We had to delay. We had to throw it back to the station and all that kind of stuff. So let's hope that's not the case. I know that every year I go down there and I think, oh, it's beautiful. And then sometime during the game, I'm like, oh, my God, here comes the rain.
Right.
And then I got to figure out, like, do I have to put a windbreaker on, a hoodie? I did last year, put this windbreaker on. It's, like, nice and light, but it then, like, stuck to my body after the rain came. And it was so humid. And it was miserable.
I'll save my story. I have a story from being on the sideline when I worked for Syracuse. It was a little bit like the tropical storm. It wasn't thunderstorms, just a soaking all day, all weekend, just constant rain. So, that's no fun. How do you think it went for the Bills at receiver? Now, again, such a blowout. What is really there to analyze in terms of Kumerow taking Gabe Davis's role? We sort of guessed at that a few different times leading up to the game. What did we get? We got basically Kumerow taking those snaps and everything else kind of being the same. Do you have any thought on, I know what the score was and, you know, Diggs just smashed, but how the Bills thought that went?
Yeah, I think the Bills, it's funny to me that, like, they obviously were way more confident in a guy like Jake Kumerow being their next outside receiver than a lot of us were, right? We were talking about that for how long? Like, if anything happens, who's the next outside receiver? Oh, it's Jake Kumerow. Yeah, good special teams player, caught a nice pass against the Denver Broncos. Yeah, the Bills just basically trotted him out there, and he was the second leading receiver for the game. He had 50 yards, runs right by a guy, catches that dime from Allen. Like, they feel really good about that. Josh Allen says he's faster than you think. He's great hands, obviously. So I think they feel good about that situation and how it went. I was super surprised they didn't get Isaiah McKenzie and Jamison Crowder and even Khalil Shakir more involved. Like, to me, that's been kind of an interesting deal that Khalil Shakir really hasn't been involved at all in the offense, and yet here's this offense that's still scoring the way it has. I think they have a really good player there that they could also use and add part of their weaponry. Not to mention James Cook, by the way, who hasn't been involved. Like,
right.
It's amazing to me. Like, to me, these guys are still very talented, and they could help this team, and they kind of haven't used them at all and haven't really needed to use them, even without Gabe Davis, which goes to show you they have a very good roster. It also goes to show you that maybe it doesn't matter as long as you have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Long season, right? I mean, I'm sort of saying that to myself as well as anyone else, because you know how I was surprised Shakir didn't even dress in week one, and I'm excited about Cook and what he is supposed to represent. I also would have loved to see him run away from that defender late in that game as they were just sort of running out the clock there. We've touched on a few things around the league here. Herbert, the Chiefs and Colts matchup in last night's game. Let's take a dash around the league here, which is brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets. What else this weekend are you really looking forward to seeing, Sal?
I think there's some really interesting AFC games this weekend, to be quite honest with you. I think the Ravens-Patriots game is interesting for maybe where these two teams are after their 1-1 performances and how they've both gone. And, of course, one won one week and lost the other, and the other was reversed. But I think that's really interesting. I think the Raiders and Titans could be an elimination game. except that the South is so bad that it probably isn't, even if the Titans go 0-3. But if the Raiders go 0-3, I mean, they're up against it, right, in that division. But if the Titans go 0-3, I still think they could dig their way out of it. It's going to be tough, but they could. And then what is happening with the Bengals? Like, after last week's win by the Jets and coming back against the Browns, like, I don't think the Jets are going to win, but holy cow, like, the Bengals just looked awful their first 2 weeks, especially trying to protect Joe Burrow.
Recommend that Ben Solak piece at The Ringer today. Really good. And you can learn stuff in articles like that, too, about how what defenses are seeing. Not things we talk about all the time, but part of what make the game so interesting. Okay, Sal, you got your lineups in and everything? I mean, lots of injury news, too, to factor in. Got to be on top of it.
I'll do a lot of that on the plane tomorrow, to be quite honest with you. That's like my time to kind of reset all that stuff. I'll have 3.5 hours or so to myself to kind of look into all that. So I'll do that.
That should be enough time for you.
Yeah, and but on Judge Watch tonight, too, so we'll be doing that.
Do you have Apple TV?
Later.
You're going to need it.
I do.
Okay.
But is it Plus or is it regular? I don't know. I think I have, like, I don't know if I have Plus.
I don't.
It's
I feel like
hard
Apple
to find
TV.
These games these days.
Apple TV is
fundraiser.
Plus.
I actually have to go to a fundraiser tonight, so I'd like to be able to watch the Syracuse game and Aaron Judge. I can't do either of those things, but that's okay. But it'll be interesting. We've been dialed into Judge here at the house, and you know, every time he gets up, making sure that we don't miss an at-bat. So hopefully he gets one out here soon.
All right. Good luck, Sal. Have a nice weekend. Have a nice trip.
All right. Thanks, guys. You too.
Sal Capaccio right there. Going to Miami. Should be fun.
I hope so.
Don't we have people to thank when Sal comes on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're waiting. I roundtable throws me off. Yeah, Sal's appearances with us are always brought to you, even in the roundtable, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case once you're outlet. I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like, oh, waiting for me. Sorry.
There was a better way for me to do that.
No, that was fine.
Just read it myself.
Hey, look. We have our roles. I always read the Sal thing. Not even read it. I mean, I have that. That's one I have committed to memory. I don't need a script for that one.
Adam Krautwurst, the Deep End Fantasy Podcast, where he and I co-host that for Draft Sharks. He will be on next, and we'll talk about some of these fantasy storylines for Week 3. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Last week with Gabe Davis going down on a Friday where, you know, there was a chance that another player was going to be inactive, and then all of a sudden he's thrust into the lineup. So you always have to prepare like you're going to start, like you're going to play a lot, and if you don't, you don't. But when your opportunity comes, you got to be ready.
Sean McDermott this morning on WGR. Check it out at the Odyssey app or WGR550.com. All of our audio content awaits you. Happy Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here joining us now on the West Her Hotline. My friend, our idol from the Deep End and Draft Sharks, Adam Krautwurst of Rochester, New York, famed flag football star quarterback, big Bills fan. How come I don't introduce you this way otherwise? I mean, you've never heard these things from me.
Never. And you haven't even seen my footage yet either. I mean, come on. It's big time stuff.
I've seen it from other people.
Get it up there on the old get it out there on the TikTok, Adam. That's where you're gonna find that stuff.
If I could only do TikTok, I would put it on there for sure.
It's a matter of time.
Just a pro tip for people in their 50s: when you refer to TikTok, you have to say the TikTok.
That's right.
The TikTok. I got it.
That's how I do it. Yeah.
So Adam, and we'll get into some players here in the next 15 minutes or so, a little less than that we have for week 3. But, you know, thinking about the draft season, which is not too far in the rearview mirror, how did we do on Stephon Diggs? Like, you and I drafted him a lot, and I know you were high on him. I got as much as I could, but I wasn't willing to pick him in the top 5. Sometimes I did at 6, though. Like, were we too low?
I don't know yet. I mean, I think if you were willing to take him at the back end of the first, that's fine. Middle of the first, like you said, 6. I think he's probably going to end up higher than Jamar Chase. But I think if you were taking him 4 and he ends up 3 or 2, I think you're okay. And if you're a high volume drafter like us, where you're doing a lot of drafts, I'm sure you got plenty of them. You know, so as long as you weren't fading him, or as long as you weren't taking one of these running backs the back half of the first round over him, I think you have enough Stephon Diggs.
Let's hope. I mean,
right.
good start.
Not having Gabe Davis, you know, also really helps week two. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we're looking at a situation where, you know, he had the perfect game, you know, without the number two receiver there.
Bulldog yesterday for Adam, and for my friend Louie, I had to count how many drafts was it? So including Dynasty, I did 183 drafts. And one of those back end of the first round running backs was Derrick Henry. And I found two Derrick Henry teams out of 183. How did I do?
Not bad.
Too many?
Sure.
is two too many?
I don't know. Is that, I mean, are they in real trouble? Maybe. But is he within that, like, not going to smash? I mean, I don't know. He still, I think, is Derrick Henry, isn't he? I guess we don't know. I guess we don't know. But I don't know. I would say hang in there on him, but I'm not, you know.
Do you want to trade for him?
No. No.
Adam?
No. That thing on Derrick Henry is he's a positive game script type player, right? Like when they're winning and they can give him the ball 25 times, he's awesome. He doesn't catch passes when they're losing, and they're going to do a whole lot of losing. So on top of us not, you know, he's 29, he's older, the old line is really bit banged up. I think the arrow is pointing down for that whole team, including Henry.
If you had a good team, would you offer, in Dynasty, would you offer James Cook for Derrick Henry?
Probably, if that, like I'm trying to win this year, because Cook needs probably two injuries to really hit, whereas Henry's still going to get 20 touches. They're just, you know, just like last week, like he did nothing, but he still fell into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? So he's still going to probably have 10 touchdowns. It's just, you know, Cook needs a lot more help. I don't think the Bills trust him like we would hope that they would.
Those same 183 drafts, three Najee Harris teams.
Yeah, I don't think he's near as bad off as Henry is. In fact, you know, people talk about how good the backup Warren looked. Fine. Like, Najee Harris, we don't want him touching the ball 30 times. He's never going to make it. You know, I think their split last night was fine in the game. It's just he had three straight drives at the end there where he should have been getting check down, you know, garbage time catches, and instead, that, you know, Trubisky didn't know what he was doing out there. So maybe Pickett comes in and he turns into that kind of check down guy at the end. And I think there's still room for Najee. And I don't have, like, I barely have any Najee, but the one spot I do have him, I took him as the 11th running back off the board. It's like, I think he's going to be, he was RB12 last week. So I think he's going to be okay. He's not going to be a league winner, but I think he'll be much more usable than Derrick Henry.
Boy, this isn't really a fantasy point at all, but it, you know, like we need another example of why you don't draft running backs high.
Right.
Is it okay to say the Pittsburgh backup looked better than Harris? Like that guy looked fantastic to me. I mean, I know he dropped the ball or, you know, whatever, lost a fumble. But man, I didn't lose the fumble. They dropped the ball. Johnson was there to fall on it, but, you know, I wonder if that's going to turn into like Pollard and Elliott in Dallas.
Ooh. Yeah, that is exactly what I was going to say. It's exactly the same thing, right? Zeke is slow and plodding like Najee, and they give it to Pollard and he flies on the sidelines for a touchdown. It's like, oh, you know, but both coaching staffs are very similar. They're old school, smash mouth, one running back type deals, and Zeke's not going anywhere and Najee's not going anywhere. So you just, if you own the backups, you just hope for an injury. Well, not hope, but you know, if there's an injury to the starter, then you can go ahead and plug him in.
Jaylen Warren is that backup, undrafted. At least Pollard came in with a little bit of draft capital, I think, out of Memphis. Adam Krautwurst, our guest, Draft Sharks and the Deep End. I'm his co-host on that fantasy podcast we do. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Bulldog, Adam, you made a sound earlier when I mentioned this name. Adam is a big Kyle Pitts guy. Big. So
that's a tough guy to be big on, I think.
Kind of.
This season has started, right? And even last year, I had him last year, and it was kind of depressing mostly.
Where are we at here?
Yeah, I think – so Pitts is the only guy – he's the only jersey that I own. It's not Bill's. I also have a Cooper Kupp jersey because I owe him way more than one jersey sale. But, but yeah, Pitts – I think this is Pitts week, and this is just – based off instincts alone and just based off, you know, the squeaky wheel type deal. And he's been saying all the right things, like, oh, no, I just want to do what the team wants me to do. And then the coach comes out and says, no, we're trying to win football games. So we have to remind him that, you know, if they're 0-2, and Kyle Pitts has like five targets over the first 2 weeks. So I think he's going to get this could be an absolutely explosive week for him. So am I nervous as a big Pitts owner? I am, but not because of Pitts, because of the coach and like what's going on there. And Drake London looks really good too. And I don't think they can both hit every week. I think it's going to be one or the other. But it usually should be Pitts. And for a tight end, you don't need a ton out of him for him to hit for you, right? Like if he gets you five catches for 70 yards, he's probably a top six tight end on the week. So it's like, it just doesn't make sense. They're going to be playing from behind a bunch, you know, so, and he's a super, super talented player. So I think that he's certainly going to end up getting his, but I am a little bit nervous about how the coach has kind of approached it the first 2 weeks.
4.5 catches and 50 yards are his prop lines at MGM, and the betting is on the under for that 4.5. But yeah, I hated that quote. You know, don't give me we're just trying to win games. This isn't fantasy football when you lose every week. Like, just somebody had, I wish I knew who it was. It was a great tweet. Maybe you guys saw it, about this Arthur Smith got Cordarrelle Patterson to come to life like he had pulled the Excalibur from the Sword of the Stone, but he can't get a 4-4, 6-6 tight end at the ball. You know, like, just shut up. Right? Figure out a way to do it, or else it's on you. It's not on us for asking.
Yeah. I like the squeaky wheel theory here, Adam, because like we agree. Now, Pickens didn't smash at all, but he got the one big play down the field yesterday and had a look at a jump ball in the end zone late. And like there was some noise. You know, I'm open 99% of the time, that kind of thing. And Mike and I yesterday on our show sort of agreed, like he look for him tonight. Something's going to pop. And, you know, he got the one big play. So I think, you know, the coaches always try to sound like they're not paying attention to that noise, but I think they probably are.
Yeah. And again, like I kind of rag on the coach, but if he ran 92% of the routes last week. So they had him in routes, you know, so if he keeps running 90%, which is insane for a tight end, and he's not getting the ball, maybe it's not on the coach. Maybe it's on the quarterback. I mean, he was wide open in the end zone for 5 seconds last week, and Mariota wasn't looking at him. He got there late, threw it 8 feet over his head, you know. So that's why I'm a little bit nervous, because if it is a little bit coach, a little bit quarterback, then we're going to have a problem. But you know, he was so good last year. 1,000 yards as a rookie tight end is just impossible. And so I think he'll end up get it going. He might not be the tight end one or two that we were, you know, guys like me were hoping for, but I still think he could certainly be a top five.
Bulldog, you got to admit, I mean, I bet that Pickens bet too. We were super lucky. I mean, if he doesn't make the best catch you've ever seen, he goes 2 catches for 3 yards in this game. That's what he was outside of that one play. So take the money and run if you had over on Pickens.
Well, I had him for a touchdown. That's why I needed the I did not take him just on yards or catches or anything like that.
And he did get 7 targets. So yeah. that's not bad.
I felt like we, you know, I'm looking for us to get credit for predicting he would do something last night.
All right. Take the credit.
Why am I getting in the way here?
Yeah, don't just take the praise.
Take it and run.
Adam, if Justin Herbert doesn't play, what are you doing with Mike Williams or anybody else there?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on who else you have, right? I mean, I think you still got to play your Mike Williams. In fact, you probably feel a little bit better about Austin Ekeler, right, if he doesn't play, because then maybe he's getting more checkdowns. Maybe they're losing and he's getting more catches. Mm-hmm. But I think you're still starting those guys. You're not, you know, if Keenan Allen doesn't start, I'm probably not starting Josh Palmer, whereas I would have with Herbert. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think you're still starting your guys. Their floors are just lower. And sometimes these backups can come in and do their thing. You know, look at Dallas last week. You know, CD had a better game week two than he had week one, you know. So it's still possible for these studs to do their thing, but obviously the ceilings just aren't as high. And they're not as high because the backup quarterbacks can't keep the offense on the field as much, right? So there's, you know, they still might get targeted, but they're going to get targeted less because they just aren't running as many plays because they can't stay on the field.
Bulldog's a big Gerald Everett guy, by the way.
He should be. He should be.
Yes, you like Gerald Everett going into free agency. Was that last year?
Year before last, I think.
It's a while ago.
Yeah.
He looks good, I think. I think he's in a great spot. These tight end is so hard to get right, but I'd love having Everett, you know, on teams right now. And I don't know about this week, same Justin Herbert point, but I'd like having him as my tight end.
Everett's been great. The problem is when you have him on a team where he might not be your tight end one, let's say you have Pitts and Everett, it's like, no, oh, man. You know, Everett's the top five tight end right now, and Pitts isn't. I have a lot of that with, like, David Njoku, where I didn't start anywhere last night. And, I couldn't believe it. I'm watching this score. Are you kidding me? You guys have a career night on my bench.
He's going to start everywhere next week, and he's going to go 3 for 18.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. If you have one, Adam, before we go, last minute here, do you have sort of a hidden gem idea play for this week, somebody that you're really into?
Yeah, another guy, and this isn't going to be news to you, but another guy that I like this week is going to be Juju. I think coming off, Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver, Chiefs, coming off 10 days off against a defense that Patrick Mahomes owns, the Gus Bradley cover three. Mahomes has always torched him, and he's played him a ton of times. Juju was their number one receiver week one. Week two, played a really good slot corner. And wasn't in the game plan, and they struggled, right? They only scored 20 offensive points. Juju was blocking. He's running 3-yard drags. Like, it just wasn't the offense. Mahomes should have thrown 4 or 5 interceptions. Like, the offense wasn't good. So give him 10 days off, get back to what they did week one, where Juju got like 8 or 9 targets. He got some end zone targets. I think they're going to light up the Colts. So Juju's kind of a hidden gem at receiver that I would not hesitate to start. And then also Miles Sanders, I think, is going to pop off this week for the Eagles. Washington, one of the worst run defenses in football right now, elite offensive line. The team's absolutely clicking right now with Jalen Hurts. If I think Sanders is going to get a ton of yards. If he can just hopefully not get pulled at the goal line, I think he's going to have a big high-end RB2 this week.
I like it.
Guys, real quick, I just got to squeeze this in. I've got 3 receivers, can only play 2. Here you go. I want both your opinions. Metcalf, Kirk, and Michael Thomas.
Metcalf sits.
Yep.
That's
what we decided last night. Me and Owen decided that. I'm glad to hear that. We were sitting with that, trying to figure it out, and we said, you know what? I think we got to stay with Thomas, even though he's only seeing like such a small snap count, he's producing. So
Kirk is kind of a must-start.
Yeah. Kirk's a must-start, which is really amazing to say. And Michael Thomas, I think they're just kind of easing him back from the injuries, but he's Jameis's guy inside the red zone. He's got 3 touchdowns in 2 games. So, I mean, Jameis threw a dime to him last week, like in triple coverage, put it right in his stomach. Like, he's looking for Michael Thomas inside the 10.
Adam, nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, Ben, this has been a while.
It's been a few days. Thanks a lot for coming on.
I'll be thinking about this all weekend, Adam. Thank you for the time.
I love it.
See ya.
All right, guys. Bye.
Adam Krautwurst, The Deep End. He and I host a fantasy podcast for Draft Sharks, and he's on Twitter. Adam, I'm going to guess it. Adam_Krautwurst, I think. It's like with phone numbers. It comes right up. That's right. It comes right up, so you don't really look at it and have to think about it.
Right.
But that is actually it. Everybody, if you're in Rochester, you already know this guy. I mean, he's a legend. NFL picks coming up in about 15 minutes here on WGR. Welcome back. Happy Friday. Picks coming up after the next update. Talking about, with Sal earlier, the running game in the Bills-Dolphins game. Almost easy to forget about. A couple of running back stats for you might like. I mentioned this one on the pregame show Monday. From PFF, the area here we're talking about is for running backs, yards before contact or yards after contact. Which guys are the best at making something out of nothing? Which guys have it the easiest? Things like that. James Robinson in Jacksonville Bulldog, 64 rushing yards against Indianapolis in their shutout win. 65 after contact.
I think that's pretty good. That's a good percentage of yards after contact.
Hit around the line of scrimmage every time. Still banged out 64 yards. Broke a 37, maybe, yard touchdown in that game. But, you know, tough day. Got something out of it. How about this from Field Yates of ESPN? The rest of the NFL, excluding Detroit, is averaging 4.4 yards per carry. Okay, right?
Yeah, sure. That
regular number.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Take out the Lions. The NFL is averaging 4.4 yards per carry. The Lions are averaging 4.6 before contact. Their rushes are almost 5 yards upfield before the running back gets touched.
That seems impossible.
Check out some of the clips from their game against Washington. Like, Swift had 5 carries in that game. He's injured. He's still questionable for this game. They play Minnesota. He gets the ball in the backfield, and you just don't even... You see the play unfold. Like, it's 1 second into the play where he takes the handoff. It looks like there is not a defensive line on the play. The line has moved everybody, like, immediately. Detroit looks like that. So they are averaging more yards before contact than the rest of the league is, period. Not bad.
That is preposterous.
If they can keep that up.
Yeah, no kidding.
And right. Eric Eager of PFF, or formerly with PFF, tweets, the Vikings have the smallest early down box counts in the league. Like, they play the fewest. I don't know if he means fewest guys or, like, literally smallest guys. I think fewest.
That's how I would take that, yeah.
They're dropping back. We'll see how that goes. Are you picking that game? I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm on the Lions.
Are you? Okay, I'll skip it. I'll pick a different one.
I'm on the Lions. You can have it. I did see today that the, like, man coverage. Oh, see, you've got all this buttoned up, and I'm like, I think I saw a thing from someone that, but man coverage. The Lions are playing a lot of man, and Cousins is maybe the top rated passer the last number of years versus man coverage.
Shootout.
Yeah,
let's go.
So maybe that's something to keep an eye on too.
NFL picks after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.